broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The school does not teach Christianity.
The cost to business from outdated and inadequate infrastructure.
We need to make America the best place on earth to do business.
Justice for Anita Hill. What do we do?
Cut off his toes one by one.
She indicates that she had been rear-ended.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This is radio for patriots, by patriots, and a patriot line, of course, always open, 877-876-7445. And don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch us perform this show. You ain't seen nothing, man, until you've watched our backstage pass video cast. You go over to philhendryshow.com and you watch the Phil Hendry Show in all of its glory there. At philhendryshow.com, you get a backstage pass, watch the video cast. We have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archive material, the greatest radio show in the history of the world, and a radio show that believes that patriotism, even above being an American, is the most important thing, because anybody can call himself an American. These days, you can call yourself an American having been born here if your parents snuck over the border. Being a patriot is someone who commits. And as the old saying goes, bud, when it comes to breakfast, the chicken contributes, the pig commits.
Yeah.
So that's what we're about here on our show. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about that, what it is to commit and not just to contribute. We're going to talk here about an Arabic program at a Texas school that was mandatory. The district finally backed down and the parents said, no, wait just a minute.
What were they worried about?
They were worried about the fact that this Arabic program had been mandatory. Now, this is not a language program. This was simply a program on Arabic culture, but the parents had not been talked to. And here's the reason why you need to talk to the parents. This is a program that in and of itself is not what we call the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, right?
Yeah, I always wonder why they call them the three R's.
Reading, writing, arithmetic, that's why.
Yeah, but that's not spelling it good.
No, it's not spelling it good, but the fact of the matter is, it's a slang. These are not, this is not an essential course. Somebody made the decision we got to have this because there is a relevance in terms of, there's a relevance in terms of everyday life to the Arabic culture, and so our kids need to learn it. So we'll talk about that, and we've got quite a few other things. Michael Moore wants more money from the Weinstein brothers. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots, by patriots here. Furor over mandatory Arabic program at Texas school district backs down. All right, now here is the story. A Texas school district put the brakes on an Arabic language program, and it is not just an Arabic language program, and this is where it is a, this is not just a miscommunication. This is an out-and-out a mistake made by the reporters. Understand something we've always told you. Understand something that we've always told you. The news is not reported anymore. It is presented so as to create in you an opinion or an impression right out of the gate. As much as I disagree with Arabic being a mandatory program, I have to tell you they were not including language. An Arabic language program Tuesday after an angry backlash from parents made national headlines. The Mansfield School District issued a statement on the mandatory Arabic classes after many parents in the district complained they were never told about this new program. Recent concerns have been raised by parents concerning plans for the curriculum. Therefore, Mansfield ISD is slowing the implementation process and will be seeking input from parents in a variety of ways. Now, what is this? This is the panic that ensued after 9/11 that is now almost an inexorable force that has invaded every facet of our society, that is a informs every decision, it seems, made by so-called progressives and liberals. There is nothing progressive about being afraid. There's nothing progressive about having your decisions informed by fear. And that's what informs this decision of Arabic classes. Fear.
What do you mean by fear?
I'll tell you. The fear that there is, and I'm telling you this straight up, that there would be a violent reaction by Arabic or Muslim people against Western society if we don't get with it. And get on a stick and start teaching these things that we need to teach about Middle Eastern culture, society, religion at all. That there might be one of these fist-pumping mob scenes, that we could have a Muhammad cartoon situation. I mean, that was the momentum of having the Muhammad cartoons pulled out of every major Western news organization, every newspaper, every news broadcast. It wasn't concern over the feelings of Muslim people. It had nothing to do with it. If you are Muslim, listen to me right now. I'd like you to know, I'd like you to hear probably for the very first time in your life the truth. No one pulled those Muhammad cartoons from the newspapers and from the broadcasts in American society or elsewhere because they were concerned with your feelings. It had nothing to do with it.
Did it because they're afraid.
They were afraid. Thank you, bud. They did it because they were afraid of violence. They did it because they were afraid of all you violent Middle Eastern people. Talk about gutless and talk about hypocritical. I cannot abide, and that's not progressive. You can call it whatever, you can call it liberal. I don't know how you guys hijacked, these liberals hijacked that term progressive. Where do they grow the pair big enough to suddenly call themselves progressive when everything they do is because of a fearful reaction to something? Because they're scared to death that something's gonna happen. They're scared to death that someone's gonna blow them up. Scared to death that someone's gonna recreate 9/11 all over again, do something else. They're scared to death that that we have offended, that we have insulted, that we have hurted, that we have hurted.
Good word.
Thank you. Hurted.
Well, you said it, man. I'm glad you said it, not me.
All right, I said it. That's what's going on. And again, if you are a Muslim, I tell you this, and this is going to be the most honest thing you ever heard in your life. Maybe you already figured it out. Nobody cares about your feelings. People care because they're afraid you're going to put a shoebox in their car. In interviews with KHOU-TV and CBS Dallas, parents expressed their anger at this mandatory Arabic language or Arabic culture class in Mansfield ISD.
The school does not teach Christianity, so I don't want them teaching the Islam.
And she had learned Spanish when she was in elementary school, and now they want her to learn Arabic.
It's them applying for the grant and getting it approved. And now saying they're going to be able to go back and change it only after they were caught trying to implement this plan without any of the parents knowing about it.
So what we have here is this rush to implement Arabic studies in this school. And we've seen this across the country in other ways. We've seen this in other venues. We've seen it in the workplace. We've seen this in the public life of our people. That we need to get more Arabic study or Muslim understanding. And I ask myself, now, why is that? Is that because a couple of buildings fell down on September the 11th? By God, that's why!
You think because they blew it up?
You tell me another reason. Give me another reason why all of a sudden we care about Arabic studies and Muslim studies.
Well, there's a lot of Muslim people here.
There's a lot of Muslim people in America. And I don't know about you, and you can certainly tell me if I'm lying. But before 9/11, with Muslim Americans in this country, with Arab Americans in this country, I don't think anybody was keeping them from going to the mosque. I don't think anybody was keeping them from practicing their religion. If they were, then there damn sure should have been some sort of an alarm raised. I'd stand up for their right to practice their religion. I don't give a damn what decade, what year. I don't need two buildings to fall down and 3,000 people to get butchered alive for me to care about freedom of religion. I damn sure am not going to be such a hypocrite that after 3,000 people are incinerated before our eyes, all of a sudden I have the love and the milk of human kindness in me for Arabs and Muslims.
Yeah, but I mean, see, that's the thing. You know, if you don't, They're all pissed off, you know.
They're pissed off, are they?
Yeah.
Well, guess who else is pissed off?
You?
Yeah, you got it, brother. I'm pissed off. Somebody's got to start, you know, here's the thing. Someone's got to start remembering that we can get pissed off, too. Americans get real pissed off. Now, Americans are a loyal bunch. We stick with our friends, and yes, we do fight for freedom. It's corny. And I understand that guys like Michael Moore, for instance, there's a beautiful story today. You're going to love this. Moore, who has made a career out of sitting his big, fat, hot dog-fed ass there in Flint and extolling and releasing these, he's releasing gas and very fetid gas, but he's also releasing these platitudes, you know.
You're talking about him farting.
Shut up. All of these platitudes having to do with the working man, while today he's fighting over a few bucks, I say a few bucks, I mean a few million bucks, with the Weinstein brothers from his movie Fahrenheit 9/11, a movie that was concocted propaganda, but he wants to make sure he gets his piece. I guess he's going to give that over to the unemployed auto workers in Flint. I mean, dude, you know, all of that hot air that you have released, more than any blimp in history. All of that stuff, at the end of the day, I know what you're all about. You know what you're all about. We all know what you're all about, and that is, let's go into court and make sure squeeze those Weinsteins. Don't let those guys, well, I was going to use a word.
You were going to say Jew.
No, I was. Get out of here. I wasn't going to say Jew. I guess I just did. Don't let them get away with it there, Moore. This is a country where the progressive, where the liberal has the luxury of sitting back in his easy chair or his Starbucks stool or, oh, I don't know, you know, wherever it is that he chooses to sit his ass. And he has the luxury of talking about the evils of a society that, quite frankly, is the single most advanced in the history of the world, and he would never in a million years be able to argue against that. And yet he's trying best as he can to tell us how warped and corrupt and how really the cause of so much pain this country is, the most advanced in the history of the world. And then he turns around and he tells us the proper reaction to the butchery that we witnessed on September the 11th is not the understandable anger that most of us felt. No, the proper reaction is to sit back and let's get some more Arabic language classes in our schools. Let's show them that we're trying our very best. Let's show them that we don't want them to do it again. Please don't do it again. I'm telling you, it's enough to make you want to throw up through your nose.
Put on the laugh and let the milk shoot out of your nose.
Laugh and let the milk shoot out of your nose.
You don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I do.
All right, never mind. We're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Radio by Patriots, for Patriots. 25 arrested, thousands converge on the Koch brother billionaire caucus in the California desert. Wait till you hear some of the things that were said about Clarence Thomas by our progressive friends. Things like, go on back to the fields. Liberals. Perfect. Unless these guys were plants. We'll be back. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back, radio. For Patriots, by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch. Michael Moore sues Weinstein Brothers for $2.7 million, maybe more, for Fahrenheit 9/11 film profits. Now, we wouldn't even be bringing this up, Mr. Moore, were it not for the fact that you know and I know, if there was someone who you had differences with, politically or otherwise, and they were doing something that seemed to go against the grain of what they were all about, you'd bring it up. Now, I don't believe in I don't believe that there's moral relativity in this world. I believe in absolutes. I believe in moral absolutes. And I believe in moral absolutes based upon this, because they've proven themselves to be the very best. For instance, is American society equal to every other society? No, it's better. Oh, are you saying that as a chauvinist? No, I'm saying that as a person with a brain, with eyes, with ears, with an ability to draw conclusions based upon what I see. No, it's not chauvinism at all. It's better. Michael Moore may think that his life and his life's work is better than somebody else's, and he's certainly entitled to that. But the fact is, I don't. So when he says he wants to sue for $2.7 million, I say, well, you're just a fat-ass capitalist, man. Now, this guy was tweeting his big ass off, excuse my language.
Oh, during the Super Bowl and everything.
Yes, all during the Super Bowl, he's tweeting about the things that have happened to the working man in Michigan, about the things that have happened to the city of Flint, about how all of the contributions that Detroit has made, Martha and the Vandellas and the Detroit Lions, a lot of stuff that Moore, this is what Moore does. He just sort of stitches stuff together and he hopes it comes out. Well, I don't think he hopes it comes out making sense. I think he just figures a lot of the people that think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread will figure it makes sense, even though it doesn't. He was tweeting stuff, the Joe Louis fist, that's us. This guy believes he's some kind of IWW throwback to the days of the Wobblies and he should have been in the movie Reds or something. Moore sees himself as a working class hero of some kind. I see him as the best friend Oscar Mayer ever had. All right, take it easy.
That's the funniest thing. That's the funniest thing I ever heard too.
All right, take it easy.
You're the best friend Oscar Mayer.
Michael Moore is the best friend that Oscar Mayer and Sara Lee ever had.
Yeah, you can't keep making fat jokes, though.
I'll make fat jokes as long as the guy's fat. I'll make fat jokes as long as I'm fat and he's fat. How about that, man? Let me tell you something. Just like everything else in this world, black people, Jewish people, fat guys, we can make fun of each other. Oscar season's in the air. What better way to commemorate all that moving movie money than with a little lawsuit with the Weinsteins? According to the Hollywood Reporter, Moore claims the Weinsteins and an affiliated entity called the Fellowship Adventure Group had a prior agreement to split the film's 50-50 profits. But after conducting an audit on the film in 2008, the director discovered substantial irregularities. He figures he is owed around $27 million. Wait, $27 million? Or he made $27 million. Now, according to the Weinsteins, Michael Moore, and I believe I'm quoting almost verbatim, Michael Moore made $20 million from this movie. He has, he's made enough. Something like that. He's made all that he needs to make. This is the first time, according to a quote here, I think either from Moore himself or from the Hollywood Reporter, this is the first time Moore has ever sued anyone in his 20-year career as a filmmaker. That should be some indication about how serious this is. No, that's just some indication to me is how stupid he has been and how much smarter he's getting or more crooked. Moore and the Weinsteins originally struck up a business relationship as partners for Fahrenheit 9/11. I love a guy going after money, and he's entitled to it, I guess. But I love a guy going after money with all of that capitalist relish, money that he made on a film that is an absolute fabrication, a fairy tale, a propagandist's delight. He raked in, the movie made $222.4 million worldwide. Well, look, Michael Moore is not very bright. And when I say not very bright, what I mean is this. He's not a sophisticated thinker. He's a businessman, and he knows how to put together these little movies and get financing for these things. But when it comes to social issues, I think we are all in agreement, probably even the liberals and progressives among us, all in agreement that Michael Moore's an embarrassment if he ever tries to weigh in on anything. Every time that guy opens his mouth about anything, he is as stupid sounding as any human being I've ever heard. He can't talk about labor relations without sounding like a moron. He can't talk about industry. He can't talk about anything political. He has made statements that are the most chauvinistic I've ever heard in my life, the most insulting I've ever heard in my life. He said right after 9/11, why don't we give the job of finding bin Laden to the Israelis, thinking that I guess he wasn't thinking how that would redound on Israel as they're running around looking for the new star on the Islamist bloc. He said if there'd been any brothers on board those airplanes, man, they wouldn't have hijacked anything. Basically saying, all you black people, you kick ass. That's one thing we know you know how to do. But he loves that music you make, too. I mean, he is a big, fat, walking contradiction. And, and in recent years, we've heard him sound off. But when I had to read his tweets during the Super Bowl, because I was tweeting, that did it for me, man. I'll tell you. Anyway, what am I talking about?
I don't know, man. I lost interest.
Me too. Okay, well, good luck there, fat boy. All right, we'll be back here on the...
Who cares?
We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445 for all you patriots out there still to come. Keith Olbermann makes the move to Current TV. Can he get any more irrelevant? And we'll restate for you why it was that Keith Olbermann lost his gig in the first place over there at MSNBC, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Bill Henry Show.
Welcome back here. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And we're looking here just very... I was going to look up the IWW, which is the International Workers of the World, which was the big, you know, worldwide union early in the 20th century that kicked off, at least from the standpoint of labor, a new century of labor clashing with management, ownership, etc., for higher wages, better working conditions, and so forth. And we do know that there were incidences having to do with work safety that were internationally known, that made international headlines. One of them was the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York, where there were women by the hundreds killed in a fire where there were no emergency exits. So we did see the beginning of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And so there were issues. Let's just put it that way. There were issues. All right. Now, having said all of that, Fat Ass was tweeting on Sunday more about how it was Detroit that created the middle class. It was Detroit that fought for decent wages, health care, safer work conditions. It was the unions of Detroit and the strikes that made that happen. So the Teamsters didn't do it, did they? So the IWW had nothing to do with it. It was you, fat boy, and all of your friends in Detroit. I got nothing against auto workers. As far as it goes, I got nothing against anybody as far as it goes. What I don't like is some revisionist, an ignoramus revisionist, who's basically a movie maker, and he's okay, he's making money for his bosses, so you can't fault the guy. I don't watch that kind of propaganda, because after a while, I have a tendency to throw up. But when this cat starts tweeting history, brother, that's when I got to check out of the jam session. Okay, it's one thing to, okay, great, whatever, you're suing to get more money. Now the guy's tweeting me history? No can do, man. I got to believe anything you're saying. First of all, because I know what you're saying, 99% of it is horse dung, man, because I know better. He went on to say that Eminem's Chrysler ad, which I thought was out of sight. I love that ad. Didn't you?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, give a little bit of pride to the city. What the hell? You know, a little bit of American workmanship. Nothing wrong with that. Well, he says, well, putting aside the idiot execs who ran the big three into the ground and putting aside how cars melt the polar ice caps, putting it all aside, what, did you like the ad or didn't you? And then, of course, he's got to take the shot at President Bush and Condi Rice. I can't believe, and I'm going to tell you something. Here is something that's the most dishonest in the history of the world. I mean, this is just hypocrisy at its all-time limits. The way that Condoleezza Rice has been talked about. These people would have to get on a stepladder to kiss her ass. I mean, the people that run that woman down, starting with Huffington, who just sold her Bush League company to AOL, and that figures, because to be perfectly honest with you, AOL, you pioneered access to the internet, and your platform was this and that, but your news service is the worst I've ever seen. And whenever I see AOL part of the byline, I realize that I may want to wipe with it, I may want to wipe my armpits with it, I may want to use it to line a box that we're sending our shot glasses out in, but I sure as hell ain't going to read it. Nonetheless, Condoleezza Rice is one of the great success stories in the history of this country, and the way that woman's been spoken of, and that code pink, I mean, well, those women know. If they late at night when they're honest with themselves, every woman in code pink realizes what an utter laughingstock each and every one of them turned out to be. All right, let's get, speaking of laughingstocks.
Yeah, I was going to see Keith Olbermann. He's on Current TV.
Yeah, which is the laughingstock, Current TV or Keith Olbermann?
Yeah, wouldn't you have sent a video over there?
I started doing some videos for Current TV, yeah. But I found when I was thinking, you know, I would get some videos up at Current TV, even though I realized I was in the halls of what is really a cult, man. I mean, I'm being very serious now. It's a cult, you know.
What do you mean?
I mean, Current TV, dig this. Because, like, for a while there, I don't know, about eight months, I was making these goofy little videos, okay, because I had this editing program. And I was dropping them down on a channel that I had at Current TV, because anybody can have a channel. And if it gets good enough, then you get graduated up to almost cool. And then if it's really good, then you get graduated to fully cool. And then if it's really good, then you get graduated up to, you know, Al approves. And then...
Are you kidding?
No, but that's how it felt. I swear to God. So there were all of these videos that people would check in with about all of these topics. And I threw mine up there every now and again. I haven't been back, man. I know my channel's over there somewhere, you know.
Well, do you want me to go find it or what?
I don't care, but I know I'm over there somewhere. Anyway, so, you know, I threw my stuff up there, and everybody have opinions. But the minute that Gore checked in, woo! Oh.
Well, everybody starts licking his butt, I'll bet.
Oh, my God, let's just stop down. Because here comes Al, man. He going to check in on something, and I don't know what it was. It could be anything. It could be just, you know, how he just farted, and it was moderately like sulfur, and that doesn't make sense because he ate broccoli, you know.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. Yeah, that's right. Al Gore was on Current TV talking about farts.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, half the stuff you say.
No, man. I'm just telling you. He could have talked about anything, though. And as soon as he was on there, you know, 8 million views, and oh. And I got, and so I got into it one time. I wasn't really even getting into it. I was yanking this guy really bad. I was on this comment feed, this thread, and I was just jacking this guy. I forgot what I was saying, but I was pretending I was somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And this dude couldn't make any sense out of me. So he was really vicious, really, really hateful. Which is fine, because, I, you know, you can go on a conservative thread and probably find somebody similar to that. But it was very amusing to me. But what I was getting was that the minute you expressed any opinion over there at Current TV on their site, anything that is contrary to how Al sees it, forget it. You'll get jumped. It's like you're getting mugged by, it's like just a bunch of hyena, man, are jumping on your ass, you know?
Well, I mean, like... In other words, not even a conservative opinion, just if he disagreed.
Yeah, if he disagreed. It wouldn't matter. It would be, if it was just something that ran afoul of Al, I'm telling you. Now, I realize that people are going to say, oh, what, are you weird or something? Obviously, they can't check with Al and find out what he thinks about everything. No, they can't. But everyone seemed to instinctively know, and it's the progressive talking points. There's no question, the liberal talking points, no question about it. So it's sort of instinctive to any and all that go over to that jackass site. And you know, I'll tell you something. That site's not bad, man. I mean, they could really do some cool things. But the problem is, it is ideologically locked down. You can't do anything over there unless it's like real cool, groovy, liberal crud, you know?
What's some of the stuff that we would do?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, they did some stuff like... They had some video contest, and the winner would get tickets to go to the Highland Games in Scotland, which I thought was kind of cool. And
what's that?
It's a bunch of stuff in Scotland where these Scottish guys, you know those big Scottish dudes, right, with the kilts?
Yeah.
Man, they do stuff like they take giant logs and throw them. And what are you looking at?
What do you mean log?
Logs, man, like a tree. What a juvenile.
What do you think you're talking about?
I don't know. A giant tree, and they throw boulders. I don't know, they do a bunch of stuff. It's a bunch of Scottish crap. What do I know about it?
Well, you said you're part Scottish.
That don't mean that I know everything about Scotland, man. I mean, my people come from there. What the hell do I know about it? I'm an American. Thank you very much. I'm a patriot. Anyway, that seemed like it would be a fun thing. But the fact is, Current TV is this locked, it's this ideologic, it is, it's, it look, it's, it, how do I put this? It's a false promise of creative freedom. When you get in there, well, you're expected to do things that, you know, are green. You just think of every word that makes you want to just pitch your guts up. Green. And, you know, I'm helping the planet. Oh, my God, you know.
Yeah, but my nephew's all about, I'm going to help the planet. These are different ways I can help the planet.
Oh, get out of here with help the planet. You know what, man? You know why it's helped the planet? I'll tell you why it's helped the planet. It's helped the planet because those cats can't bring themselves to say what they really want to say, which is, I don't want to buy any more Middle Eastern oil because that sucks. Because all those guys over there want to cut our heads off. But then I really don't want to drill for any oil over here, because then that would mean that I believe in oil, and I don't want to make that seem like it's really about oil. It's just about, yeah, bull crap. It's all about this. This is what it's about. Let's get on to alternative energy. Oh, and that's the other thing. They don't want to say it's about alternative energy. They want to say it's about saving the planet. Bull crap.
Yeah, man, but not about saving the planet. They don't want to have to rely on the Arab and everything like that.
Exactly, man. Why don't you just be honest enough and say it's about we have dwindling energy resources and we have to find other ways to power things, and that's fine. I'm down with that. I sure as hell don't want to be buying no more Arab oil. I'd rather be drilling for it. I've talked about the oil rigs that we've got off the coast of California. Some progressive, some liberal ass sent me this email, and he was pissed off that I was mentioning how the marine mammal life flourishes in the channel out here.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oh, this guy was, I was saying, you know, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but we've got oil rigs up and down the coast of California here in the channel. And on top of that, we got whales, we got sea lions, we got dolphins, we got more marine mammal life out there, probably anywhere in the world, man. And we've got oil rigs. And this jackass, so pissed off because he's some jive progressive, some jive-ass liberal who cannot stand the fact that what I'm saying cannot be refuted. Would you rather them die? I bet you'd feel better, you know?
Yeah, they would, man. I'd rather see all them seals die to prove a point.
Yeah. Half those cats that are up there killing those seals and those sea lions with those high-powered rifles are probably a bunch of freaking liberals, man, so they can say, look at all the conservatives up there. They're killing all those animals. I mean, the dishonesty, man. It is brutal. So wading into that is who? Keith Obermeinfuhrer. Former MSNBC talk show host Keith Obermann, jawohl, announced via Twitter today that he's becoming the chief news officer. The chief news officer. Dude, that is...
Kind of marshal, you know?
Yeah, that's a big word for you, bud, isn't it?
Yeah. I know what it means.
No, I'm glad you do. It's a good word. But anyway, he's becoming the chief news officer of that marvelous, marvelous entity that I was just talking about, which, of course, is Current TV.
Yeah, I said.
All right. Obermann will host what Current calls a major new nightly primetime news and commentary show. Basically what that means, he'll get the same five people watching it that were watching that time slot before. Now, he'll get more people. There's no question he'll get more people, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the people that like him will go and watch it, but, I mean, that's not going... It's like saying, I want to go see Robert Schuller in a real funky-looking church, you know? Like, he ain't going to be in a Crystal Cathedral. He's going to be in some rundown little church down on, you know, on Avalon Boulevard. But at least it's Robert Schuller.
What did you just say?
No, I understand what you said.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand that you're used to seeing Robert Schuller in a big cathedral. And now you're going to go watch him at some broken-down, busted storefront church, right?
Yeah.
Well, Obermann will host this current, what Current calls this major nightly primetime show. It sounds like something that Gore thought up. You know, it's got one of those big, long-winded, horse-dung titles. The network hailed the former sportscaster for his slashing wit, analytical eye, and distinctive commentary. You know what? Obermann is a funny guy. It's true. He's a funny guy. The only problem with him is his inflexible view of life, where everyone that disagrees with him or everyone who has an alternative worldview away from his is somehow suspect, criminal, to be maligned, to be slandered, to be... It's just, once again, very dishonest. But you have to understand, folks, when you are dealing with the medium, whether it's radio or television, You're dealing with essentially, especially with these liberals, man, a dishonest vein running through them. They are angry at themselves that they don't have a bigger pair than they've got. They're pissed off at themselves that they don't really have any answers for anything. They just don't want... They're almost like what Canada is, man. Canada doesn't know what it is. They just know they're not American.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I'm doing up in Canada. Well, what are you? Well, at least we're not you.
That's a hell of a way to go through life. You can't define yourself. You just know what you aren't. The one-hour show is set to start in late spring as Chief News Officer Oberman will provide editorial guidance for Current's primetime lineup. Primetime lineup? What the hell? They don't have any shows.
Yeah, they do. They got like... Green Nation or something?
Green Nation? Oh, will you get serious? The worst thing, who was that guy that went green? Ludicrous? Man, dude, when you went on that green kick, forget it. All right, we'll be back with more here, and we got a little bit more. We got one more segment left here. We got one more segment left here in this show tonight, radio, for Patriots, by Patriots, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, don't forget to head over to our website, pick up a backstage pass. You can watch how we perform our show every night at philhendryshow.com. And don't forget to visit our shop and pick up some of our legacy best of CDs. Get our legacy shot glass, the 2.5 ounce shot glass. This baby is balanced, it's ready for action. There it is on our video cast. I'm showing it to our video viewers right now. On the 21st begins the arrival of our new video and, TV studio, basically. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. So we got a lot of things happening. And as we get closer to the summer,
I'm drinking all that Coke.
Well, I'm drinking Pepsi. I'm drinking a Pepsi throwback. We will roll out another piece of merchandise. All right. Here is one of the saddest stories. And... I don't want to bum you out, but look, we are all witness to this thing that's happening, and it's called the destruction of a human being by her own parents. This is what's going on with this Lindsay Lohan woman. I have to tell you, this is what I think is happening. Lindsay Lohan is an actress who has some talent and is certainly talented enough to be valued by the industry, and people worry about her, and they want her to get better, and they want her to get her life on. And meanwhile, she's got two parents here, this Dina and this, I guess this other guy is what, Michael Lohan? These two imbeciles are as insane as any two parents I've ever seen in my life. And before our very eyes, they're driving this kid crazier and crazier and crazier until one day she'll lose. I don't know. I don't know what'll happen. And we can't do anything about it. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying we stand and we witness a woman who is an adult woman, and she can certainly leave these parents behind, but as was pointed out to me just a moment ago, every kid wants to have at least one relationship with a parent. I mean, you don't want to think your parents are just the most evil, despicable, disgusting turds that ever floated up from the bottom of the pool.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Well.
Oh, man, that was bad.
Well. In any event, Lindsay Lohan's legal troubles just went from bad to worse. The actress will be charged Wednesday with one felony count of grand theft for allegedly stealing $2,500 worth of necklace from a Venice, California jewelry store on the 22nd of January. She's required to show up in person for an arraignment. She's a thief. Oh, God. The actress's attorney, Sean Chapman Hawley, has denied Lohan committed any crime, plans to defend her in court. All right. She's currently on probation and under random drug testing in her ongoing DUI case. The ladies of The View offer up excuses for why Lohan is in the latest bit of legal trouble.
But when I was a kid, you know, I would take, a thing of gum or something, yeah. And I could afford part of it when you're young is, can I do it? You know.
So you're a thief.
You know, I was
okay,
a thief.
Walters.
But, you know, do you
you're
think...
You're a lousy thief.
Do you think that part of it has
you know,
nothing to do with the money?
It's a celebrity thing in a certain way because these celebrities go into these rooms where they give you so much stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. The designers give them the dress. They think they just take it, I think.
I mean, I think it's about the danger, and then all your friends are doing it. It's like, you know.
Oh, will you get out of here? She stole a $2,500 necklace, and she's a 26-year-old woman. Are you imbeciles? Yeah, when you're five. Did you hear this stuff?
Wow!
God! Meanwhile, this idiot, the mother, Dina Lohan, slams the hurtful Glee writers. These two people, this Dina and this Michael, if you two people would learn to shut up. Just shut up. Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina, let's listen to her yap. She comes out again against Glee for mocking her and her family in the Super Bowl episode of Glee. Dina gets slammed by guest star Katie Couric.
I know it's painful, but can you take me back to the moment when you knew you had lost what would have been a record 7th consecutive national championship, landing you this interview as loser of the year?
I thought this was the 10 most fascinating.
That's Barbara Walters. In the voting, you beat out the following losers. The economy.
What is this? What the hell is this? What is this? Is this part of the show?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to hear Dina Lohan. I'm hearing an episode of Glee. Because our producer, Jason Rance, is just such a Glee fan, it's embarrassing. All right, Jace, thanks. By the way, anyway, our show produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson. And, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. And until then,
and he pulled his pants down?
Don't forget to visit our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. It's radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots.
Phil Henry.
Bye, Patriots.